I want to use for a subject tonight, preaching a few minutes, the words given directly by Judah when he said, come up with me into my lot. The word lot is an old English word. It means inheritance. It means a particular place. Come up with me into my lot. And I believe this has a vast spiritual significance for us tonight. Would you bow your heads, please? God, as we minister, I would ask in the name of Jesus that thy Spirit would move to touch the hearts and the lives of the people. I realize within ourselves we can do nothing, but as Paul said, with thee we can do all things. Strengthen this congregation as we minister. Help us, Lord, as you bless us, to even minister unto thee. And I will ask that we simply be a channel through which thy Spirit may flow, and I will ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. I stood the other day at Jericho, the ruins, the remains of what had once been one of the oldest cities inhabited by man. The way I was standing, directly in front of me, I could see the wilderness where Jesus had been tempted some 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. To my right, even though my eyes could not see it, I knew it was there in the distance, was the Jordan River, where Joshua had crossed with the children of Israel to Canaan's fair and happy land. I stood there locked in my own thoughts for a long time. After the others had already gone back, I stood alone for a while. Somehow this place, this entrance into the promised land, had a special significance for me. I couldn't seem to shake it. Many people think of Canaan land as a type of heaven, and really it's not wrong to surmise it in this particular way, but actually in typology, I do not believe it is a type of heaven. The reason I say that is because Canaan, even though it was the land flowing with milk and honey, it was the paradise given to God's children. Still, there were Jebusites there, Girgashites, Hittites, Hivites, Canaanites. There were enemies there, and there will be no enemies in heaven, period. So I believe that Canaan is a type of the mighty Holy Ghost. It's a mighty infilling of the Holy Spirit. When you come out of Egypt, you've come out of the world. You've met Jesus. Moses was a type of the old law. He could not go into Canaan. Joshua, and actually the name Joshua is the same name that Jesus had. Jesus is the Greek derivative for Joshua. When he was on this earth, he was actually called Joshua. And Joshua was the ones that led the children of Israel out of that wilderness across the Jordan River into Canaan's fair and happy land. Likewise, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there cometh one after me who is mightier than I, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is not only the Savior, but he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Joshua, the earthly type of Jesus, led the children of Israel into the great Holy Ghost kingdom of Canaan's fair and happy land. Now, after they arrived in the land, Bible tells us of the dispersion of the particular parts of the land to the various different tribes. the tribe of Naphtali, of Dan, of Issachar, and all of the tribes of Israel were given special portions that were directly given by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God drew off the exact boundaries that each particular tribe would have and would obtain. When they were parceling out the land, they were giving this particular section to one tribe, giving another section to another tribe. They totally eliminated the tribe of Simeon. There was no inheritance given to Simeon. There was no word spoken for Simeon. Of the thousands of people that stood there in the tribe of Simeon, they had no inheritance. They had no part or no parcel. I want you to visualize just a moment the terrible pain that must have gone through their hearts. When every other tribe had received their part, they had received their glorious portion in this land flowing with milk and honey, this good land that God had given, but there was no lot, there was no inheritance, there was no place for Simeon. Now there was a reason for this. Many, many years ago, when Jacob had come into the land, before it had really been possessed by the children of Israel, Simeon, his son, had taken the law into his own hands and had endeavored to wreak vengeance upon a little village by the name of Shechem. Their sister Dinah had been molested, had been ravaged by these men, the Shechemites. And they had taken the law into their own hands and had literally, to make the story short, had slaughtered an entire village. Jacob's wrath was aroused because he realized that Satan could have used this to arouse the entire population against his small family, and they could have been killed had not God's providence watched over them. Many times Christians take matters into their own hands and do not give God a chance to work, and it causes much difficulty. And when Jacob lay dying, the old patriarch begins to bless the various different sons. He blesses the sons of Joseph. He blesses Dan. He blesses Naphtali. He blesses Issachar. He blesses Judah. But he said that Simeon would be scattered. Simeon would be cursed because of the terrible sin, the terrible, heinous crime of slaughter and murder that he had committed. Strangely enough, when Moses, just before he was to go into the promised land, he really didn't go except by faith. But he also blessed the tribes as he gave them his last address. But as he names the various different tribes, Moses totally eliminated Simeon. He never mentioned it. I've read behind every Bible scholar, and Moses said nothing of Simeon. He spoke of Dan. He spoke of Judah. He spoke of Asher. He spoke of all of them. But he totally ignored Simeon as if though he did not exist. And now they're in the land. And there is the leaders of the tribes stand. And under mighty Joshua, they parcel out the various different sections of the country. Finally, it's all given, it's all apportioned, and there is no part nor parcel for Simeon. I can see men's faces turn pale. I can see women as they start to weep. I can see little children as they must have clutch with trembling hand the robe of their fathers and their mothers, and they look up with longing eyes. What is wrong? Why do we have no place? Why do we have no inheritance? And there is nothing that can be done, but a sob fills their heart. No place. How does it feel like when the door is shut? How must it feel when there is no hope? How must it feel when you've drank so much booze until the monkey's on your back and you scream and you realize that you'll burn in hell forever and there is no power on earth that can set you free? How must it feel, neighbor, when you've shoved that rusty needle into your veins until there are no more veins left and they've collapsed and now you're shooting beneath your tongue and between your toes and the muck is on your back and there is no hope? You're shut out. How does it feel when you've come to the end? The game is up. The door is slammed shut in your face. Everybody says, that's it. No good. Write him off. Simeon had been written off. But all of a sudden, there is a tremendous prophetic fulfillment here that pertains to you and me. It draws our picture perfectly. And I want you to catch it tonight. As they stand there in that horrible manner, forlorn and broken and bowed, suffering the sin that their elders and their ancestors had committed so long ago. No place, no inheritance. All of a sudden, Judah steps up. Oh, hallelujah. It was from the tribe of Judah that Jesus would come. Jesus was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It was Judah. Judah steps up, and I can hear the clarion voice of the elders of the tribe of Judah as they stand there and they address all the elders of the tribe of Simeon, and they said, we have the biggest portion of all. We've got so much land we don't know what to do with it. We've got mountains that are kept by snow. We've got rolling beaches. We've got vineyards that grow in all of their beauty with a great vineyards of the fruit of the bounty that God has given us. The brooks flow trickling through the inheritance that we have. We've got so much we don't know what to do with it. And you don't have to be begging or lacking. Come on up with us into our lot. Come on and join us. Come on, we'll shove over, and you stand by our side, and what we have will be yours. You will feast on our vineyards, drink from our springs, rest on our beaches. You will work our lands and enjoy our inheritance, because Judah said, what is ours is yours. And listen to me tonight. When you and I were lost without God on a road to a devil's hell, and the door slammed shut in our face, and sin had taken its deadly toll, our heavenly Judah by the name of Jesus stepped up and said, come on up with me into my lot. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come on up with me, and I'll break the bonds of alcohol. Come on up with me, and I'll break the chains of drugs. Come on up with me, and I'll break the bondage of loneliness. Come on up with me. You may not be worthy, but I'll make you worthy. You may be sinful, but I'll cleanse you. You may be dirty, but I'll wash you with my precious blood. You may walk in darkness, but you take my hand and you'll walk in light. Come up with me into my lot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can do it tonight. You can do it tonight. Come up with me into my lot. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, just because you're saved, that doesn't mean the battle's over. Just because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean the battle's over. Some folk think when they receive the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost that, man, it's going to be nothing but smooth sailing from here on out. And you'll find out the battle's just begun. You'll find out the fight's just started. You'll find out that hell has just gotten angry. And you're going to also find out something else. You're going to find out, even though you're in the land, you're saved. Thank God Jesus has gathered you to his bosom. You're still going to find out you'll have trouble with the flesh. The old Girgashites and Hivites and Canaanites are going to come against you with every ounce of strength they have. Hell's going to hit you just as hard as it can hit you. Some of you are nodding your head, say, Brother Swagger, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you mean. But I'm here to tell you, I don't care what Satan throws your way, you don't have to yield to him. You can be victorious in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, a young man called me once, and he was in Bible school. I didn't know where he was when he called, but he called long distance. The operator told me, said, it's a matter of life and death. I said, well, sure, I'll talk to him. He was crying. He said, Brother Swaggart, you've got to help me. I said, what can I do? He said, I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I said, well, where are you? He said, Bible school. Oh, how can you blaspheme the Holy Spirit in Bible school? I said, what did you do? He said, I don't know what I did. Now, that's a perfect picture of a new convert that the devil has taken advantage of and filled him with condemnation, made them think that they have done so bad, made them think they're no good whatsoever. And the devil will tell you God doesn't love you anymore. God's sick of fooling with you. Jesus Christ has lost all patience with you. You might as well just quit and give it up altogether, because God's sick of you. You told him you'd never do it again, and now you're right back doing it again. You promised the last time you prayed with tears you'll never, never again do it, and you went right back and did it again. Am I getting down to where some of you live now? Am I getting down to where you live? And he said, Brother Swaggart, he said, I can't go any further of blasphemy. I said, son, listen to me. You don't know enough about the Holy Spirit to blaspheme him. Hallelujah. You don't even know enough about him to blaspheme him. I said, hold your head up high. Look the devil right square in the face and say, devil, if I did it, Jesus forgave me and he washed it white by the precious blood of the Lamb, and I'm going to heaven by the help and grace of Almighty God. I want to tell you something, Christian. Listen to me. I can't stand sinning Christians, but I don't care how much you fail God. You may fail him 10,000 times. You ought not do it. You ought not fail once, but if you fall flat of your face, don't stay down there. Hold your head up, stick up your hand, and Jesus will pick you up and dust you off and clean you up if you'll just give God a chance to do it. Hallelujah. You ought not fail once, but if you fall flat of your face, don't stay down there. Hold your head up, stick up your hand, and Jesus will pick you up and dust you off and clean you up if you'll just give God a chance to do it. Hallelujah. I don't believe in backsliding. Praise the Lord. God's got a lot invested in you. If you'll just give him a chance within your heart, he'll walk with you, he'll talk with you, and he'll give you victory. Just like the brother that had a little problem he'd just gotten saved, had a problem with drinking. Now, somebody said, Christians don't drink. I know they don't. He walked past a saloon, call them bars now, and the fumes hit him. I mean, he staggered. he actually staggered. He'd spent half his life on drink. You see, you know, that doesn't bother me. I could smell liquor. I was in Honolulu the other day, our dear sisters I mentioned over there, and I went to pay for some gasoline at a service station, and the boy was drinking a can of beer. I accidentally knocked it over. Brother Ward said this morning that his wife told him, and of course, wives are always correct, never to use the word stink. But I'm going to be a little bit like him. That stuff stunk. I mean, it smelled vile. Vile. To go to hell over that's a waste. You can do better than that. At least go there drinking champagne. Don't go drinking beer. He ran. He passed that saloon, and there was a little grocery store right beside. He ran into the grocery store, threw 50 cents down on the counter, and said, "Give me a quart of buttermilk." Turned it bottoms up. Drank every drop of it, walked out past the saloon, the fumes hit him again, turned right around, reached in his pocket, grabbed another 50 cents, said, "Give me another quart of buttermilk." Turned it bottoms up, walked out past the saloon, fumes hit him again, he ran back in, throwed another 50 cents down, got another quart of buttermilk. Turned it up, he could only drink half of it, buttermilk running out his eyes, nose, ears, and mouth. He finally set it down and said, "Devil, if you can get one more drop down over that now, go ahead." I'm going to shock some of you tonight. It's hard for us Pentecostal people to realize it, but you are holy now. You were holy the moment Jesus saved you. You are holy now. It's hard for us to say that. We want to earn it. We want to work for it. We want to try to attain it, but you can't attain holiness. It is given to you by Jesus Christ, unearned and unmerited. You are holy because He is holy. Hallelujah. And somebody said, "Well, Brother Swaggart, if I'm holy, why the struggle? I've got such a struggle in my heart, and I'm struggling to live for Jesus." And your struggle is not in being holy. Your struggle is in maintaining your holiness. That's your problem. You're standing on the mountain, and the devil's trying to knock you off of it. See, he's trying to bring you down, drag you down. But you stand there in Jesus and hold to that nail-scarred hand. You're in the land that God has given you. But it's a land that's fraught with Jebusites and Hivites and Canaanites that are trying to destroy you and hinder you and wreck you and steal your Christian experience. It's a battleground. That's what it is. Then the word says, Judas said, "Come up with me into my lot." Point two. God always lifts men up. He never shoves them down. And you can't bring God down to your level until first you go up to His level. Now that's a fact, friend. God won't have anything to do with you down here except to lift you out of sin. He wants to lift you up. He wants to help you, to strengthen you, to bring you out of that miry clay. Come up with me into my lot. Jesus will make a man out of you. Jesus will make a woman out of you. Jesus will help you to hold your head high. Jesus will put something in your heart that the world cannot give. That's the reason He says, "Come up with me into my lot." I believe every person that gets saved gets about 60-70% more intelligent. I believe that. Instantly, because of the light of the gospel. Somebody said, "Brother Swaggart, I know some Christians not too bright." I do too, but think what they'd be if they wasn't saved. Hallelujah. You that are failures, He wants to pick you up. You that are broken, He wants to pick you up. You that have been disinherited, He wants to pick you up. In Germany, right after World War II ended, one young Catholic boy determined all of his teenage life that he would never take a drink of liquor because his mother and dad had both been alcoholics before him. I mean, he'd seen this debauchery and this filth and this rot of his mother and dad staggering blind, falling down drunk so many times. He determined, I'll never touch it, but willpower's not enough, you see. He found himself with the boys and with this environment taking a drink. And like it had seized his mother and daddy, it seized him with an iron hand. In his early 20s, he was an alcoholic. In horrid desperation, he went to visit the Catholic priest. Both of those men sat there with a stein of lager beer in their hands. And the priest said, don't worry about it. When you get back home in a new environment, everything will be all right. He went to the Protestant chaplain. Protestant chaplain gave him a book just then written by Norman Vincent Peale called The Power of Positive Thinking. I know that sold a lot of copies, but Mr. Peale himself said he wasn't saved when he wrote it. He's gotten saved since. Won't do you that much good. He read the book, threw it aside. He was discharged, not wanting to go home in this terrible condition. But he thought, maybe when I do get home in a new environment, it will be better. Maybe it will. When he got there, he couldn't wait to see his fiancée. They were engaged to be married, and he was just so anxious to see her. When he arrived there, that particular night after calling her and making the date, and she was wanting to see him. And when, I'll call him John, that wasn't his real name. When John walked in the door, this is the first time he'd had on a civilian suit of clothes in a long time. Mary, I'll call her Mary. Mary's mother met him at the door, and she embraced him eagerly and said, John, come on in. Mary will be ready in just a few minutes. Mary came down the steps. Oh, she was, the stairs, she was radiantly beautiful. And John just, he was so excited, he ran up to her and kissed her and embraced her. This was going to be his wife. He told her, he said, I've just made reservations at the Mocambo. We're going to paint the town red tonight. She said, I'm sorry, John, but we can't go there. He thought he, you know, he wasn't polite to ask questions, so he named another place. We'll go there. She said, I'm sorry, but we can't go there either. She was Presbyterian, you see. He thought, well, what? He named a picture show, a movie. Let's go to a movie. She said, I'm sorry, can't go there either. He said, well, what is it? Where do you want to go? She said, I haven't had time to tell you because you were coming home on the boat. But 2 weeks ago, at a church like you've never been in before in your life, Jesus Christ saved my soul, baptized me in the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't know what in the world she was talking about. I mean, the only time he'd heard Holy Ghost mentioned was the Holy Ghost Church, Sacred Holy Ghost Church, Catholic Church. That's all he knew. And she said, we'll go to church tonight. He said, church? That's back before Catholic Charismatic, she said. That's back if you went into a Protestant church, you were excommunicated. He experienced it. But he went. He went. He'd never been in anything like it. My. He sat there that those people sung. He'd never heard anything like this. They were all clapping their hands at one time. The first thing it did, it scared him to death. You know, it's strange. The first time a person senses the power of God, it scares them. It's from another world. Praise the Lord. He sat there and shook and trembled all over the presence of God. On him, conviction all over him, all of a sudden something happened that did scare him. His young fiancée sitting by his side all of a sudden stood to her feet and started speaking in a foreign language. Chill bumps broke out all over him. Roots of his hair tingled. He sat there and just shook all over. Oh God, neighbor, this is what our churches need. This is what our preachers need. This is what our Sunday school teachers need. This is what our lives need, an infusion of the power of Almighty God. And thank the Lord, the Lord's doing it today. He's filling more people with the Holy Spirit than ever before. More are getting saved than ever before. My friend that was a pastor went to him, tried to get him to come to Jesus. He's weeping. He shook his head, said, "No, I don't understand any of it." Just about midnight when he and Mary got home, gun smoke was over. Before he let her out, he said, "Mary, I want you to speak that foreign language here in the car like you did at church tonight." She looked at him and said, "Johnny, I'm sorry, but I just can't do that. It doesn't work that way." He kissed her goodnight, let her out. She didn't know it, but he went out and got falling down drunk. Next night, he came back ready to go to the nightclub. She said, "I'm sorry, we're going to church again tonight." He said, "Again tonight?" "Yes, again tonight." Same thing happened, but a little different this time. Some folks stood to their feet. The pastor touched them. They fell out like they'd been hit by a pole axe. He grabbed Mary's arm and said, "Let's get out of here. He's killing them. They're dead." Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Top it all, Mary stood and gave another message in tongues. They sat out in front of her house again. He laid his hand on her shoulder, said, "Mary, speak for me like you did in the church." She said, "Johnny, I can't do it like that." He let her out, kissed her goodnight, went and got drunk. Next night, he said, "You're going to church, I guess, again." She said, "We're going to church again." "Yes, that's right. We're in revival." He sat down. God dealt with him, moved on his heart. He wept and sobbed, but he wouldn't come to Jesus. They were sitting in front of her house again, about midnight again. He laid his hand on her arm and said, "Mary, I'm not making fun, but speak for me here now, like you did in church again tonight." She looked at him. She said, "I'm so..." Threw a hand over her mouth. He grabbed her hand. He said, "What's the matter?" She tried it again. Threw a hand over her mouth. He grabbed her arm and she opened her mouth and started speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. He said, "Mary, put your hand on my head like they did in church. I need it. Put your hand on my head." Glory. She wouldn't do it. She was embarrassed. She wouldn't do it. He grabbed her hand. His door was open on his side. He was about to get out and take her home and like he'd been doing every night. His door was open on his side. He grabbed her hand, touched his head with it. God ordained every bit of it. The power of God knocked him out of the car, flat of his back, on that Presbyterian street in that Presbyterian neighborhood. Glory to God. 1 o'clock in the morning, he came up saved by the blood of Jesus, baptized in the mighty Holy Ghost and fire, the bondage of alcohol completely broken within his heart and within his life. Glory to God. All night long, as lights came on all over the neighborhood, they walked those streets praising Jesus and thanking God. Why not? Jesus said, "Come up with me into my lot. Come up with me into my lot." He'll pick you up drunkard and break the bondage of alcohol. He'll pick you up prostitute and make you pure. He'll pick you up businessman that's lost without God and give you another reason and another purpose for living. Come up with me into my lot. And if you'll come up with him into his lot,
Then he said, I'll come down with you into your lot and we'll fight the Canaanites together. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You come up with me into my lot, I'll come down with you into your lot then. And we'll fight the Canaanites together. I love that. I love that. You're looking at Jimmy Swaggart and you say, well, Brother Swaggart, you're not perfect. I know it, but God's not through with me. Jesus is with me, and we're fighting those Canaanites together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you'll come up with him, he'll come down with you, and he'll get involved in your life. He'll get involved in your schoolwork, young lady and young man. He'll get involved in your housework, lady, with you. He'll get involved in your business, sir. He'll get involved in your life. He'll get involved in your college education. He'll get involved in your witnessing. He'll get involved in everything you do. Glory to God. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He said, I'll never leave you alone. And that word in the Greek means, I will never, 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 no, never leave you alone. That's what it means. Praise God. I'll come down with you. I'll come down with you. I'll come down with you. Praise God. And he'll walk with anybody that'll give him a chance. I don't care who they are. Makes no difference. Who you are, where you've come from, he'll walk with you. An old dirty apartment in a city not too far away from here. Filthy. A prostitute from the street walks into that apartment, and her girlfriend, also a prostitute, is there. She walks in. She asks Sally. She said, I want a drink. Sally said, I don't have anything to drink. She said, well, you do. I saw it here last night. There was $100 worth of liquor here last night. She said, I poured it all out. She said, you what? She said, I poured it out. Poured it down the sink. Well, what, you crazy or something? No. What happened to you? Last night after you left, she said, I went to a church like I've never been to before in my life. You won't understand it, but I got saved. I'm not going to live this life anymore. Never felt so clean in all my life. Glory. I don't know what the other girl's name was, Marie. Marie said, I want to be clean too. Tell me how to get it. Sally said, well, I don't know. She said, some of them were they was all praying around me, and I don't know what to tell you. But she said, I've been walking the floor all night long, praising the Lord. She said, I've been reading the Bible, and I read that where Jesus said, pray, and you got to pray to get saved and enter into your closet. Marie said, I'm going to the closet. She went. They started dragging out boxes. She got in the closet. She said, now what do I do now? We laughed, but this is a soul that doesn't know anything about God. I mean, knows nothing about Jesus, nothing about his power to save, nothing. Knows nothing about the mercy and the grace of God. Doesn't even know what side of the Bible to start reading on. And she said, well, I just pray. Just talk to him. Well, say, well, how will I know when I get it? She said, well, I don't know when I got it. Said somebody over there said she saw the light. And said, I did. I saw something. And said, just stay here till you see the light. Close the door. Marie's date opens the door and he comes in and says, I want a drink. And Sally said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to drink. He said, I'm supposed to meet Marie here. Is Marie here? Yeah, yeah. Well, where is she? Well, Is she in the kitchen?
No, no.
Well, where's Marie? She didn't want to tell him. She's in a closet.
But about that time, Marie saw the light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Saw the light. And she was gloriously saved. She came out of that closet. He thought she was on some drugs. He said, "What are you using? I want some of it." She said, "Come out here. I'll tell you." Hallelujah. They took both girls, took the fellow out on a bench outside, told him about Jesus. He got saved. They all three that night went to the same church. The Lord baptized them in the Holy Spirit. Tonight they're in a Bible school studying for the ministry. Studying for the ministry. Changed totally by the power of God. He said, "Come up with me into my lot. And I'll come down with you into your lot." He wants to do it if you'll give him a chance in your heart and your life tonight. Bow your heads, please.